Okay, we await advice to go over to the Prime Minister, acting Prime Minister. So while we are doing that, I think we can continue to take calls, John. Yeah, we continue to take calls until we are advised to go over. Good morning and welcome.
Morning, Peter.
Hi, morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
I trust that you are safe with your family and your friends and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would like to open this program by speaking about the less fortunate. Now, Peter, well, I want to agree that all over.
Okay. All right, sir.
Grocery outlets, a number of concerns have been raised. Even before the decisions were made public, the government of Barbados and its social partnership had already initiated discussions to develop a system that would meet the socio-economic needs and of access of our people to necessary supplies, while at the same time observing the public health protocols that have been put in place to contain the spread of COVID-19. In an effort to ensure that all Barbadians, but particularly the most vulnerable, have access to food supplies during the 24-hour curfew period, a new regime has been developed to take effect from tomorrow, Wednesday, the 8th of April, 2020. This regime is based on extensive consultation between representatives of the Cabinet of Barbados, the Barbados Private Sector Association, and the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, under my chairmanship and with the input of Prime Minister Mia Amor-Motley. This new arrangement will run for the duration of the current curfew period and will be strictly enforced to ensure that we do not compromise the protocols that have already been put in place across the country to halt the spread of COVID-19. However, it will be subject to constant review and, if necessary, alteration, given the fluidity of the circumstances and the ongoing COVID-19 response. From 9 a.m. tomorrow, April 8th, 2020, Barbadians in urgent need of groceries will be able to order them from supermarkets through a number of options. However, there will be no in-supermarket shopping. Please note that supermarkets and shops will be open on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday during this week. Orders will be taken by the individual participating supermarkets via websites, telephone call-ins, WhatsApps, or email. Payments for these orders will be accepted through cash, debit, or credit cards. All persons ordering groceries in this manner will have the option to collect their groceries in person through curbside vehicle pickup or home delivery. Where shoppers choose to pick up their orders in person, they will be given specific collection times to reduce the risk of large gatherings that would contravene the requirement for physical distancing. Persons placing orders should note that when we took the decision to restrict shopping last week, many retailers already had a sizable backlog of orders for delivery. And as a result, in the initial stages of this new arrangement, this may actually slow down the pace of delivery of new orders until this backlog is cleared. As a result, we are appealing to those households and to all Barbadians that have already purchased adequate supplies to stand down from grocery shopping at this time, to allow others who may not have had the resources or the opportunity to stock up to acquire their essential needs. A special regime has also been put in place to facilitate persons whose circumstances do not lend to telephone or even online ordering. And the following supermarkets have made special provision to accommodate those persons. Effective tomorrow, they will be able to go to Shell's, Trimart Popular, Savings Mart, and Jordan's to pay for and collect prepackaged baskets that would have been already prepared by the operators. Shoppers will be able to see a list of items in each basket ahead of placing and paying for their orders on site. These baskets will be in values of $25, $50, $100, up to $150, with the contents determined by the individual retailers based on their examination of the shopping patterns of their customers. All shoppers, when placing walk-up orders for the prepackaged baskets or collecting telephone or online orders, will be required to observe physical distancing rules of a minimum of 6 feet behind the person in front of them. In terms of agriculture, farmers will be facilitated through the BADMC for fresh fruit and vegetables, through the Barbados Egg and Poultry Producers Association for fresh eggs and poultry products, and through the Pig Farmers Association for fresh pork. There will be a process of ordering through dedicated landlines, mobile phones, email, and WhatsApp messaging. Curbside pickups will be in place at the BAS Grotto, BADMC Fairy Valley and Spring Hall, Chickmont, Star Chick, and Amir Car Parks. And deliveries will be done for village shops, mini marts, supermarkets, and for individuals for orders $30 and up. The government and its partners in the Barbados Private Sector Association and at the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry recognize that this walk-up approach will not necessarily facilitate the personal taste or brand choices, or even the shopping volumes to which each individual or household might have been accustomed. However, we hope that you will appreciate that the primary mission here is to ensure that everyone has an adequate supply of what they need while keeping the country safe by containing the spread of COVID-19. In the meantime, distributors have committed to ensuring that our village shops are kept restocked so that Barbadians, including some of the most vulnerable individuals and families who rely on these outlets, have constant access to get what they need. In the case of those village shops that have already morphed into community mini-marts over the years, but which are still largely one- or two-person operations that are vital in their communities and do not have the capacity to facilitate online ordering or prepackaged baskets, we have made an additional concession. Those neighborhood mini-marts will now be permitted to take orders or open their doors to facilitate the dispatch of specific orders or prepackaged groceries like those being offered by the large supermarkets. In all instances, strict adherence to physical distancing rules must be maintained. Further exemptions in this regard for mini-marts will be processed by the Office of the Prime Minister on a case-by-case basis. Barbadians, residents, let me reiterate that there is no perfect formula for confronting the challenges that this pandemic has presented. We will all have, as a nation, to adjust our behavior and our policies and practices and the regulations as the situation unfolds. I remind you of the reason for these very unusual restrictions, and it has to do with the emergence, the prevalence, and the presence of COVID-19 on our doorsteps. The government would like to thank the people of Barbados for their patience, their understanding, and their compliance during this period of restricted movement. We understand the dislocation and the discomfort that this has caused, but we know that it has been done for the greater public health good of all Barbadians and residents. We once again take this opportunity to appeal to all of you to work with us, to follow the rules and the advice that have been given. Exhibit the discipline and the kindness for which Barbadians have become known. And we will get through this together. We will do our very best to minimize the restrictions as much and as soon as possible under the guidance of our public health officers in the Ministry of Health and Wellness. Meet us halfway and let us do this together. I want to take this opportunity as well to wish all Barbadians, and particularly those of the Christian faith, a peaceful and holy week and a blessed Easter. I'm open to taking any questions from you, from the media, at this point in time.
Yes, ma'am. Ian Bourne, BeijingReporter.com and CETA Radio, 90.1 FM. While we're glad to hear about the revision towards shopping, it also begs the question, what is going to happen with those who wish to pay by card to minimize COVID-19 presence? At the moment, all ATMs across the island do not allow for deposits. I spoke with a member of the banking community this weekend. They were suggesting that they were following directives from government. Will this be reviewed under the social partnership? Because people can't shop if they can't deposit. And I know for a fact that there are a number of viewers out there that have received their 2016 tax rebates in the form of a check.
I know that those discussions came up in the course of our negotiations. We've been in discussions with sector and the necessary to facilitate those persons who require to make the necessary deposit. I mean, I think you would appreciate that we've been dealing as various entities, their challenges in being able to feel to have that facilitated. We have been responding directly.
And I would like to follow up too, based on the fact that there's going to be some form of cash payments. Is there any consideration being given that cashiers there may be legislation that might be necessary for some form of hazard allowance? I know that there are Perspex screens, but that's only sort of like, if you will, they're frontline workers, just as much as police or the nurses.
We've indicated to all of the persons in the private, all of the supermarkets, that they can take the necessary precautions to provide the respective workers with certainly cloth masks. We've said before that we are permitting the use of masks for those individuals. We've reserved the N95 for the frontline workers. We will, and we have asked them to take the necessary precautions to protect persons, which is why we've insisted equally on the social distancing. And we've been in a lot of discussions with the police force as well as the various retailers to ensure that those protocols are put in place outside of the premise, because for the most part, many of the operators have actually been compliant inside of the supermarkets. But we've had to do a lot of logistical arrangements to be able to ensure that that social distancing continues on the outside, because our priority is first and foremost to ensure that our workers are protected.
Good morning, Prime Minister. Sorry, Ian. Go ahead, Ian.
All right. My last thing, you mentioned that there might be a chance of revision. Will this then be the revision extended to hardware stores for people that may need to conduct a home repair during this period?
At this stage, we've asked for it to be limited to grocery shopping primarily. As I would have said before, we're asking people to understand that this is not business as usual. And really, we don't want to have, you know, to put more pressure on the supermarkets than are necessary at this stage. So we have asked that they limit it to grocery shopping to avoid the congestion and the unnecessary lists that may be submitted for persons to order. And I think Barbadians appreciate this is not something that is going to continue indefinitely. But we're asking you really to only try to get essential items at this time to avoid a backlog and a congestion at the supermarkets. Though there are many people who already have things, we're saying to you, if you already have and you've already stocked up and you believe that you can continue to work with the things that you have, allow the persons who did not get the opportunity to get a few essential items to do so in the coming days. Okay, so we're asking for Barbadians to be reasonable.
Good morning, Acting Prime Minister. Barry Allen here from the Nation newspaper. Has the retail sector given government any assurance that private security, or any kind of security for that matter, will be provided on their premises now that this particular regime has started? You would remember that all last week, the Attorney General said that the responsibility for keeping the physical distancing in place lies with supermarkets and with stores. What is the position on that now?
I think it's fair to say that the first responsibility is at the supermarket owners. However, in our discussions, the issue of security security is a concern to both the supermarket owners as well as the government. And we've given the assurance through the Office of the Attorney General that we will do all within our power to deploy the necessary resources to be able to help facilitate and to ensure that we do not have a repeat of what happened. I think that, again, we're appealing to Barbadians to please respect the whole issue of social distancing and the physical distancing. There will be those provisions in place from tomorrow to ensure that persons abide by those rules and those regulations. And we're asking for your compliance at every step of the way to ensure that we do not have a repeat of what would have happened last week, Friday.
And Minister, can we expect to see members of the Royal Barbados Police Force present at most of the major supermarkets and stores tomorrow?
Yes, most definitely. The Royal Barbados Police Force, as I said, through the Office of the Attorney General, are on board. They were actually in one of the calls with the retailers, so they understand the concerns and even in some cases the hesitation that may have been expressed initially. But we have been asking them to submit their site plans. The Royal Barbados Police Force is working with the retailers to be able to look at the logistics, look at how they've laid out their premises, and to be able to weigh in to determine whether they will need additional support, and also in the case of traffic regulations, whether those will be necessary to ease the flow of traffic. As we said before, we have curbside pickup, but we also will have walk-in. So each supermarket is not the same, and therefore different arrangements will be put in place for some of them. I think there were some that we had discussed because of the location. It may not be practical at this stage to be able to allow them to be facilitated for opening because of the challenges that might be created both for the shoppers as well as for the police and certainly the supermarket owners, and we are making those necessary accommodations accordingly.
And third question, Acting Prime Minister, there are a number of elderly persons in Barbados who would not be in a position to participate in this regime as it starts tomorrow. Are any particular arrangements being made for them in terms of home delivery specifically?
Well, I think you may be aware that a number of the supermarket chains already provide delivery service to the elderly. We've set up the hotline, and through the welfare department, I know that we've already been receiving calls, and those persons will be facilitated through the hotline as well as through the supermarkets. And that's why we've specifically set up the facilities to allow the continued delivery services across the country. But we are mindful that we don't want our elderly persons on the streets. We're also appealing to Barbadians, and we keep saying, if you know of an elderly person who needs some items, if you can assist in making the order for them and placing the order and being able to do the collection or arrange for the delivery, we're encouraging you to do so, because at this point it is about holding the hands of others along this journey. So I would hope that Barbadians would be sensitive to those elderly persons who really are in that age group that are most at risk, and that they would do all within their power to ensure that those persons are contacted, or if they have to make a quick visit to them, to just basically find out, you know, what assistance they can provide to ensure that this process is seamless come tomorrow.
Captain PM, Kerry, good information from Smart Loop News. With regards to the small business owners, is there any way that we can give some incentives? Persons are saying that they would like to ease the burden on the supermarkets by going to the mini mart, but the mini mart price is not comparable in some instances. Sometimes you go to the supermarket, it's $4 for lunch, and you go to the mini mart, it's $6. Can anything be done?
Well, we've spoken to the distributors, and I think that they are sensitive in these times to a number of the issues. I believe that they're in discussions with looking at if there can be different pricing arrangements. But I believe that that is a negotiation that is ongoing. And I think based on the situation, as I said, it's not business as usual. And I think consideration will be given to taking a different approach in the circumstances.
Okay, just one other question. I know that post offices are open for the welfare checks and the pension checks. Can some of the mini marts or supermarkets accept them as well?
I didn't hear the last question.
Can any of these supermarkets or mini marts accept the checks if the person didn't get to go to the post office with their welfare or pension check?
Yes, to the best of my knowledge, they are facilitating that method as well, because we are mindful that some people would not have been able to cash their checks on Friday. And again, those are the persons really that we're honestly trying to target with this measure, because we know that they're persons who shop day by day, you know, in terms of having certain income to be able to buy a few groceries. Those are the persons that we believe, you know, have the greatest need right now. And even in how we have looked at the basket of items that are available, we've taken into account that there are people who will need a few items to just top up what they may have in their house. But these things are based on the common practices that a lot of these supermarkets see in terms of what shoppers come to these supermarkets looking to purchase. As I said before, it is not going to be a case of that you have the opportunity to pick and choose necessarily what you want. The potatoes may not be the size that you may want, or it may not be the type of brand of butter that you may be familiar with. But we're asking you to appreciate that in this environment, and in this environment only, we are trying our best to just get the basic and essential items to the people who need it most, first and foremost. And therefore, we ask Barbadians to just work with us to understand the limitations, but, you know, just understand that this situation is really just for a time.
Good morning, Acting Prime Minister. Sharika Griffith from the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation. Given that supermarkets are reopening tomorrow, have the staff been given the necessary passes to ensure they don't encounter any problems with the police when they're moving to and fro?
I must tell you, there's no perfect system of issuing passes. We had some complications initially, and those are always expected in a situation where you're relying on technology. We have been able to rectify, for the most part, a number of the requests that have been made. We've had additional staff put on working through the night. We had a shift that came on at 12 o'clock this morning, trying their best to get the number of passes to all of the persons who have requested. Is it a perfect system? It is not a perfect system, but we have made the necessary we've had the necessary conversation, rather, with the Attorney General, and we've indicated to the police, obviously, that we are, you know, we're trying to get the passes out. We've spoken to the retailers, but for the most part, we have had a lot of the passes distributed to the respective supermarkets, distributors, and retailers.
Prime Minister, Keith Goddard, Voice of Barbados. Mr. Carter did express some concern about persons still not adhering to the restrictions. How would you assess the monitoring and the enforcement? And could we see stronger measures being put in place to ensure greater compliance with the restrictions?
Yeah, I think it is fair to say that, I drive on the road as well. I've seen a number of cars on the road that probably should not be on the road. The Royal Barbados Police Force was asked, particularly in the early stages, to work with Barbadians. And we've asked Barbadians to work with them as well. It is not our desire at this time to clutter the work of the police. It is not our desire to lock up people, as some may think. It is our desire to appeal to the good sense and judgment of Barbadians. If you do not have to leave home, unless it is for the essential services, we're simply asking you not to leave home for any other purpose that has not been designated. We ask you to use your discretion. But I have asked Minister Carter as well, Izar to be here as well. So if there are any questions related to those specific things, I think I can ask him to weigh in at this point in time.
One more question.
Madam Prime Minister. Madam Prime Minister.
Join if you want to ask your question first.
It's just going to be very quick. Okay. Based on the shopping that you listed, gas stations are for filling up and for phone top-up only. But is there any consideration to let them have prepackaged baskets like Popular and Trimart and Chanel, etc.?
Prepackaged baskets for top-ups?
Gas stations are only for refueling or for phone top-ups at the moment. Has any consideration been given for them to have prepaid baskets the ones you mentioned, Jordan's, Trimart, Chanel, et cetera?
No, Ian, at this stage, we've not given consideration to that. I think we're going to work with what we have announced today, and we have limited the traffic in the gas station specifically to top-ups at this stage and also for persons frequenting to be able to refill. But we've not looked at that as an option at this point in time. I think by extending the mini-marts and the ability of the mini-marts to service the general public, I think that will also allow for the pressure to be taken off of some of the village shops and certainly some of the larger supermarkets as well. Those are the concerns that were expressed, and I believe those are the ones that we've responded to at this particular point in time. I want to bring in Dr. Corey Ford because I'm sure you have some questions in relation to COVID-19. So I'm going to ask Dr. Ford to just provide you with an update as to where we are in relation to public health at this time on the COVID-19 virus.
Good morning. It is with great regret at this point that I announce the death of the third patient with COVID disease. This is a 95-year-old male who presented us quite late and had been extremely unwell up to this point. He died at the wee hours this morning at 3 a.m. And to give you a further update on our numbers, as of now in isolation, we have 53 patients at our isolation centers across the country. We expect 3 further admissions today from our cases identified last night. At the Paragon Isolation Center, we have 17 persons, of which there are 8 females and 9 males, and they are all stable. Quite good for us is that we have 2 of these individuals screening negative on their screens as of last night. They require now 1 more screen of negativity for release from isolation. At our second campus, at our Enmore facility, we have 3 patients who are currently ventilated. All 3 of them are critically ill at this point, with 1 male, a 52-year-old male, remaining extremely ill at this point, and his situation is complicated by diabetes. At our third campus, our Blackman and Gallup isolation facility, we have 29 patients. There are 16 females and 13 males. 4 of these individuals remain in our more high dependency area, and all of them range, their age ranges there are between 60 and 80 years of age. Most interestingly, in the results from yesterday on our patients under isolation, we still have, at this point, we have discharged 6 patients, and we have 3 negative pending results, which will allow for 3 further persons to remove from isolation. The healthcare staff at the institution continue to work extremely hard in providing care to all patients diagnosed with COVID-19 disease, and we will put our great effort to make sure that every and every single Barbadian has the best healthcare provided with regards to COVID-19 disease. Thank you.
Dr. Ford, don't leave that question. Barry Allen from the Nation here. Can you give us an idea of how many patients at this stage need ventilation and what position the country is in terms of ventilating, how many more if it becomes?
I think the figures were given in the last news conference by the Prime Minister, Minister of Health, as the amount of ventilators on island. But what it will speak to is that we only have at this point 3 persons on ventilators at this point, and are all 3 remain critically ill. We have the capacity, of course, to extend the ventilatory capacity if we require at this point.
Dr. Ford. I wanted to know if this, the current statistics as they are, do they suggest that there is community transference? I remember Dr. Best was very concerned that there is that very real possibility. It just has not shown up in contact tracing as yet. That was the last time he said so.
Okay, great question. At this point, we still have no clear evidence of community transmission. This is an investigative process, so every time we find a new case, what we do is we go out to ensure that we can contact trace that particular individual. Classical example is the one I mentioned earlier, the patient who died last night, who was 95 years of age. We were able to contact trace him back to his daughter who came back from the U.S., and she's also now currently in isolation. She's our 1 admission for yesterday, and she's actually quite well at this point in the less high dependency area of the isolation. So the contact tracing continues across the country. I think the curfew, which is put in place by the government, quite easily allow us to transverse through the community to try to find any individuals of concern. But at this point, we have no clear evidence of this sort of ravaging spread of COVID-19 throughout the community. I will maintain that statement in saying that the majority of our people which we found so far have been linked to people who, Barbadians, for most part, who have traveled overseas within that period between the 15th of March to present until we have put the provisions in place for quarantine when people arrive.
Dr. Best, I'm not sure if you mentioned just now, but can you give us clarity on the total number of cases that we have right now? I'm not sure if you mentioned. Or if you
there, are 50, there are 53 people currently in isolation. However, we expect three further admissions today based on our positive results last night.
Okay, Dr. Ford, you said at Enmore we have three patients who are ventilated. You highlighted one 52-year-old male. The other two patients are what ages and what sexes?
Okay, so the other two patients, there are two females. One is 78 years of age, and the other female is 56 years of age. And all these patients all have serious comorbidities, especially the young male who's extremely ill.
Dr. Ford, during the press conference on Sunday, Dr. Beth had indicated that you were still trying to trace the source of infection for three people. Have you made any progress in that regard?
Every day there's progress, and I think part of that progress in finding cases allows us to first find that key individual, and we've been able to trace at least in one for the individual the point contact, the initial contact, the index case, as we call it, in the outbreak. But we're still doing further investigations. For each case, it requires a sort of expanded screening process, which happens on a day-to-day basis by the community-based teams, which have been working. I will tell you, they've been working extremely hard on a day-to-day basis in the community in doing contact tracing. I think I will even go as far as to say that I think in us, in that, you know, search to find any evidence of community spread, what we have really done is gone into the community. If people call, even with, you know, symptoms which may or may not even sound like COVID, we will do the testing, because I think at this stage of the outbreak, our predominant aim is to try to establish if there's any community spread. And I think I need to home you in on that. That's our particular goal at this point, to find that case or cases which we cannot find the index case for. And that needs to be made very clear at this point.
And Dr. Ford, what is our total test count at the moment? And how many tests do we have at our disposal, since we seem to be doing quite a bit of testing in the last few days?
We were doing quite a bit of testing. I don't have the numbers for you, but I can tell you, when we compare to our Caribbean colleagues in terms of number of tests, we are far and above in terms of the number of tests which are being done. I can't give you an actual figure at this point. You have the figure? Okay. Good morning, everybody. Just to provide a specific figure on the number of tests. So as of the 5th of April, we've conducted 602 laboratory tests for COVID-19. And the current number of cases stands at 63 for Barbados. As Dr. Ford was indicating just now, the number of tests or the proportion of tests per 1,000 of the population in Barbados is significantly higher than many of our Caribbean neighbors, and in fact, many international countries. This gives us a measure of comfort in relation to our identifying cases that are out there in the community, because the more we test, the more likely we are to be able to identify cases that may be out there, which may be evading the other detection methods because their symptoms are mild. Thank you.
Thank you for returning, Acting Prime Minister. I do have a question for you regarding the overall COVID-19 situation. The Acting Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Best, has said on more than one occasion that the trend they continue to see is that majority of our infections would have been generated from outside of the country. And my question for you in light of this is, in hindsight, does the Cabinet of Barbados or the Government of Barbados have any remorse or any regret having not closed its borders to commercial traffic specifically, not traffic of cargo that would have allowed medical equipment or other equipment in? Is there any regret at all that our borders would have been not closed to commercial airline traffic?
Okay, thank you. I can't say that there's a regret. I think you have to deal with the situation as the situation has confronted us. We had a number of persons, and I think the cases have reflected a number of Barbadians also had gone outside of Barbados and returned to Barbados. If you're saying that we should have closed our borders to Barbadians returning home, well, I think that is a matter of your your personal opinion, but I believe that we tried to accommodate as best as we could persons returning to Barbados. We put in place all of the necessary mechanisms based on the data and the evidence available to us at the time. It was not therefore necessary at the time for us to be able to have such drastic measures. As you would see across the world, and certainly in Barbados, a number of the flights have pretty much cancelled. And right now, we are at the position where our borders pretty much are closed to those particular passengers. So I don't think there's a regret on the Barbados government's part. As I said, we have been guided from the outset of this based on the medical evidence. I think the other thing you have to realize is that Barbados, perhaps better than some of its counterparts in the rest of the region, not only have the adequate supply of our public health officers and the particular expertise that they bring to the table, but we have been in communication with our international partners. They have also guided the process. We are very fortunate in Barbados that we have the number of hospitals and the number of the polyclinics that we do servicing the public of Barbados. We are very ahead in terms of what we have. And I think you would also be aware that the Prime Minister would have made an early decision in terms of the Harrison Point facility, which I can say to you has been handed over to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital yesterday. Not the official handover, but in terms of the construction, that has been handed over, and the QEH is in the process of getting that off the ground. We've brought in the Cuban nurses, the specialists are here on island to assist the medical professionals. We believe we have been in a position where we've been readying Barbados for these things, and we had to take measures based on where we were. We are not like the other islands, and I think Barbados need to appreciate that. Barbados is very sophisticated in its handling of these measures, and in particularly in the healthcare sector. We are pretty off much better than a lot of other places. So no regrets at this stage from the Barbados government.
Barbados advocate, you noted that the post offices are open this week, Wednesday and Thursday. Is there any indication that they'll be open next week as well, in case persons are not able to get those pension checks and welfare checks cashed this week? My second question to you also is in relation to Barbadians who returned home that are supposed to more or less self-quarantine. Are you checking on those persons on a regular basis to make sure they're doing what they're expected to do, and also to ensure that they are more or less healthy or continue to be healthy?
I can allow Dr. Ford to speak to the checks that have been made in relation to persons who have come into the island. And we've been appealing to people to be obviously following the protocols that have been set out. I know that we've ramped up resources at the hospital to allow for additional persons to assist with the tracing mechanisms. But I'll ask Dr. Best to just weigh in just to give any more information at this stage.
Yes, the answer to your question is yes. The public health team has a very big group on the ground doing contact tracing. But apart from that, what they're doing is looking on a daily basis of all these persons in quarantine. People also have the capacity to check their own temperatures and to report any symptoms. But the team on the ground is doing this both actively and passively and remotely as well.
Question for you. What is the procedure after a person is discharged from isolation, the person who tests negative twice?
Right. So a person who tests negative twice, as by international guidance, is clear of COVID virus disease. The actual plan is for follow-up of these individuals in terms of the comorbidities, and that will be done through the public health system. There's no risk at all at this point for transmission of any disease, since they're deemed negative by international standards.
Okay, are persons following the calling the hotline first? Because last time you said that the gentleman who died, the 81-year-old, and his wife, the 83-year-old, that they presented at the QEH. Are persons just turning up at the hospital?
We, as much as part of the national action plan, the plan is to try to allow the hospital not to have these sort of events. But as I said before on the People's Business on Sunday night, and I think this is a very important point, it is that you must have a plan. So the plan is to try to avoid persons having to come to our major healthcare facility and try to protect that healthcare facility, because other aspects of healthcare must go on. People will have heart attacks, people will have strokes, etc. And those aspects must always continue. However, in doing that, we actually have a plan on the ground in an emergency department that if a person does present and we were not able to detect, you know, that from earlier, that there's provision in the emergency department for isolation of these individuals. And even, you know, to even cast even more understanding than that, that capacity for isolation has recently, through the administration of the hospital, the chair of the hospital, that has been expanded because we would expect at some points that people might present maybe with some other illness, and on evaluation, we might think that that particular individual might have COVID. So those isolation areas have been put in place at present at the QEH, and we will hope in the near future that we're able to expand that isolation capacity should the need arise.
Dr. Ford, we've had 3 deaths in a very short space of time. Would the Ministry of Health be in a position to say if this is within what it expected, or are we still within the parameters based on the international spread of the disease?
Yes, I think that's a great question. And the answer to that is quite simple. If we look at the data internationally, it's quite clear. Persons who are above the age of 60, and certainly above the age of 65, are at increased risk of death when they contract COVID. This is then complicated by the fact that we also know that people with hypertension, people with diabetes, people with cancers, as one of these patients would have had, these persons and the immunosuppressed individuals, these individuals are in increased risk of getting complications and death associated with COVID disease. If we then look at the other end of the spectrum, we know from all the international data, both from China and information coming out from Italy, that persons of the younger age group, certainly below the age of 19 years of age, that the sort of complications that are seen are much less. It doesn't mean that there have not been deaths identified in that area, but certainly the percentage of individuals who present with severe disease in that age group has been quite less, and that's really followed in our trend in terms of our presentation. So I think in our current trend of things, we are falling quite well within the international parameters. But to say that because we know this, I think a few key things have been put in place to try to decrease the risk of the impact in the elderly population, even before we identified a case in Barbados, or after identification of the first 2 cases in Barbados. And that was to look at the geriatric hospital, the entrance of persons within the geriatric hospital in that facility, and to talk to the social partnership who are involved within the care of the elderly and trying to restrict visiting within those areas, because persons who have respiratory illnesses would take them into those areas would put those individuals at the increased risk. And that really came out of one particular aspect. I think we have looked and we have sat and we've discussed quite clear issues. We know in the US, for example, we know in Canada, for example, and in Italy, for example, the surge in cases often started within these particular facilities. And we put measures in place from quite early, anticipating that we can have these effects. It is now up to each and every Barbadian, as mentioned by the acting Prime Minister, to look to help these elderly people within the community so they don't feel that they have to go out in search of these aspects. Thank you.
Doctor, one last question. In terms of the 6 people you released, you said they will be monitored, but does the ministry expect any retesting of them to be done unless they become asymptomatic again? Because they have some talk about reinfection.
Yeah, so there's no reason for us to retest them at this point. And I know there's lots of talk out there about the possibility of reinfection, and there's no current international guidance which suggests that at this point. I think there's no need for them to retest it, and there's no need or any international data which suggests clearly both the CDC, WHO, and any of the other international organizations which suggest this at this point. The individuals, as we know at this point, are quite well. And as I mentioned before, I'm happy to say that one of the individuals who's been released, one of the females who released, her husband at this point has 1 negative test, and we hope to rejoin them together once he's negative today.
Doctor, is the 7-year-old still mild? Is the 7-year-old still mild?
Oh, yes. Oh, the 7-year-old, and that the 7-year-old is still mild, quite happily at home at this point in isolation.
Doctor, some kind of clarification from some people on Facebook as to how would the ministry then treat those bodies, those persons who have passed?
Oh, okay, so this strict international guidance, this is a good question again, and one I imagine that would have been asked. The World Health Organization has spelled out quite clearly what needs to be done with these bodies. So they're handled in the same way as any normal body with the same normal personal protective equipment. The only advice which is given, which has been spoken to with our external parties who will deal with them, is that we do not recommend embalming of the bodies. Otherwise, all the parameters for which one will deal and all the personal protective equipment will be the same. There's no specific extra guidance which is required at this point.
Do we at this time have enough PPE for the frontline workers?
Oh yes, there's enough personal protective equipment for the frontline workers, and I will tell you on a daily basis that the stocks of them are increasing. There are some personal protective equipment which are specific, like where we talk about the N95 mask. I always make the point to say that there's nothing in life such as one size fits all. And there are challenges with a few of those versions, not in Barbados. This is an international issue. When we recognize that this is going to be a problem, there's a high amount of purchase throughout the country, certainly by the hospital, of all of the personal protective equipment that we had in Ireland. There are some challenges with some versions of the mask, but I will tell you that for those individuals who had those challenges, we were able to mass fit most of them and find another version of the mask that can fit them. But at this point, we have no challenges with or significant challenges with personal protective equipment. And on a day-to-day basis, we continue to get supplies from our partners, from international governments. The Chinese, for example, have been very, very gracious in providing us with some extra personal protective equipment, as the Minister of Health has said in his previous presentation.
Dr. Ford, I'm not sure anyone ever spoke to it, but is testing free for Barbadians?
I didn't get the question. Can you repeat that?
Is testing free for Barbadians?
Oh, yes, for sure. Testing is free for Barbadians. Testing is free for anyone who presents with signs and symptoms of the disease. It becomes important to test, like I said before, to find those index cases. Thank you.
This question is for the Acting Prime Minister. Has any consideration been given to reopening fish markets? The fisher folk have been concerned, especially with the Easter weekend approaching. Have you given any consideration to that?
Yeah, I think, good question. I think we've looked at the arrangements that can be put in place in relation to the fish markets. But as you appreciate, we're trying to prevent the issues of persons gathering in large numbers, which is why we have been speaking to the supermarkets and trying to ensure that the necessary supplies can be obviously allocated both for the online deliveries as well as being able to call in for shopping to do curbside pickup as well. But those arrangements will be looked at, and if any necessary updates are necessary, we will certainly speak to those in the fullness of time. I just wanted to say as well that I think that what you've heard from Dr. Ford is obviously fairly comprehensive in terms of the steps that we've been taking over the course of the last few weeks. And certainly trying to prepare ourselves for all of the eventualities that might arise from COVID-19. When we think about the fact that Barbados obviously has a large home porting base, we could do no better in terms of not being able to provide for persons still to be able to come in, but also for persons to get out. I think it's fair to say as well that we had a lot of students who were on island who needed to get back home, and we had to keep our borders open in order for those persons to be allowed to exit. With that, it means that flights have to come in, and those flights may come in with passengers to make it worthwhile for them, but it also means that the persons who are here needed to be transported safely from the ports of entry, the cruise ports, in order to be able to leave Barbados safely to get back to their home country. Again, I just want to reiterate, we've done all that we can, all that has been possible. I must say thank you to the various private individuals and companies who have reached out, who have facilitated us getting the necessary supplies on those flights that were still coming in. They've continued to make arrangements with us to be able to get additional supplies into the country, because I think, as you know, there are some restrictions in terms of what we can get in at this point in time. And truth be told, I know one of our cruise ships had even offered, because of the generosity of Barbados in facilitating not only testing, doing by getting individuals out of Barbados, they graciously donated two ventilators to Barbados as well. So while it may appear to some that we have been loose in our arrangements, at the same time, there have also been significant benefits to the country by being able to facilitate those persons who needed to get back out of Barbados as well. I think it would be also fair to say we had students who many of them wanted to come home. We are mindful that if persons were left in some of these territories because of how the healthcare systems are currently structured, many of them would not have been able to access the necessary healthcare without, in particular, if they were in the United States, they would not have been able to access the necessary healthcare without obviously the adequate resources. And I can speak to that from a personal perspective as well. So if you don't have money, sometimes you're not able to get the requisite care. We therefore meant that all of these considerations had to be taken into account in making our decisions in terms of closing our borders, because we needed to facilitate those persons as well being able to come back into the country.
Acting Prime Minister.
Prime Minister, you've been asking questions about the post offices next week.
Post offices, its arrangements will continue in place so persons can be able to have the checks facilitated. And we will make further announcements in the course of the week. As I said, the situation is a fluid one, but at all times we're trying to just maintain the physical distancing protocols as much as possible.
Prime Minister, 1 to 14 Trinidadians that are still in quarantine in Barbados, what's an update on that?
I'll ask Dr. Best, or Dr. Zarr, sorry, to be able to just provide an update on that situation.
Thank you, Prime Minister. I'm not able to provide a specific update on where the Trinidadians are. I know that they have completed their period of quarantine, and therefore, as I said, the responsibility in relation to public health prevention has been exercised. None of those persons have tested positive while they have been in quarantine, and therefore they would have been discharged from quarantine as of, I believe, yesterday. I understand that some arrangements are being made for their repatriation, but those arrangements would not necessarily be arrangements made by the government of Barbados, because they are private citizens, as citizens of Trinidad and Tobago, and those arrangements would be made between themselves and the government and whatever carrier is available to take them home.
Mr. Carter, did you say they were tested? We were told before that they would not be tested unless they became symptomatic.
There would be no requirement from the government of Barbados to test them unless they became symptomatic. So there's no requirement from the government of Barbados. If the government of Trinidad wants them tested before they leave Barbados, then that can be facilitated, obviously. But we have asked, if that is required, that the appropriate number of test kits be made available to us to facilitate that.
Mr. Carter, before you leave, Mr. Carter, I just wanted to get clarity from either from you or the Acting Prime Minister. Bearing in mind that the curfew was changed to 24-hour capacity on Friday the 3rd of April, is the expiration still the 14th, or is it now the 17th of this month?
The date of expiration of the curfew remains as has been announced. I believe it is midnight on the 14th of April. However, we have said consistently that if the situation warrants it, there is provision for a further extension. Obviously, that is something that we hope we will not have to do. We understand that the restrictions have been uncomfortable for many Barbadians. We understand that it has caused dislocation, as the Prime Minister said, but we will only make the adjustment to the date, the current date, or make an extension if the situation warrants it. That is currently and continually being evaluated by the Health Emergency Operations Center, from which the government of Barbados has continued to take its guidance and direction. Those are the public health professionals. Those are the ones who are best placed to determine whether or not what we're seeing in terms of the presentation of cases is consistent with what we expect at the end of the day.
I have a question as it relates to bottled gas. I know that the gas stations are open for top-ups and the pumps, but what about bottled gas, Prime Minister, Acting Prime Minister?
The bottle gas is still being facilitated. I think one of the concerns that we had expressed in the last couple of days was that persons were hoarding the bottled gas. And as a consequence, I believe the minister would have spoken to that issue and appealed to Barbadians really to, you know, desist from that practice, because it really was preventing persons who genuinely needed to access bottled gas from being able to purchase such.
Prime Minister, if I may just do a follow-up on that. I know that if you look on Facebook, a number of persons were complaining about the fact that the price of gasoline had gone up in the last 24 hours. Is there any consideration being given to relax that and we see a reduction probably in the price of gasoline even for the period that we are considering for the 14 days?
Well, I think it's important for the record for persons to appreciate that those prices are dealt with prior to this COVID issue. In other words, those prices are fixed before the items arrive here. So as a consequence, I guess we can have a review of the situation, but I think you need to bear in mind that we haven't fixed the prices to carry them up right now in this current environment. They would have been fixed previously, and the necessary announcement would obviously have been made at the time based on what would have been negotiated previously.
Prime Minister, is there any consideration for a review? I'm not sure if I heard your answer that.
Yes, we again, I've said repeatedly that we continue to review the situation day by day. The dynamics of the situation continue to change, and we continue to respond based on the concerns that have been expressed by the general public. But I just want you that you understand that it wasn't a situation where we announced an increase in the current climate. It was really that these prices are actually fixed prior to this situation, and the announcement would have come as it would generally have come in the course of us being able to receive the petrol. Okay.
Understood.
A couple other Caribbean countries have actually extended curfews, which they instituted. We are 7 days, 1 week away from the end of our curfew. How soon will government be actually reviewing if we will extend our curfew or just relax it?
It's fair to say that we're reviewing every day. I keep repeating, the dynamics continue to change. The figures continue to change. We are still on track in terms of what would have been predicted in terms of where we would be. But again, we are guided by the medical health professionals in terms of changing the dynamics of the curfew at this stage. And I believe early next week, we will make the announcement in relation to whether that advice is said to us that we continue or whether we relax the curfew in any way. But I just to assure you that we've had the preliminary discussions with the private sector and our various partners and stakeholders with a view to looking at other mechanisms that may have to be put in place if we have to extend, because we're not waiting until that advice comes. We've been looking at all of the other countries across the world, the other islands in the Caribbean, to look at how they've been handling it, to look at how their people have responded to a number of the measures, and also looking at what Barbadians can handle at this stage. But all of that is balanced first and foremost by public health concerns.
What consideration is being given to extending the Easter vacation with regards to school, delaying the restart of school?
Well, I think that announcement will come when we determine what is happening in relation to the curfew. We said the curfew continues until the 14th. Obviously, classes were due to also resume shortly, and I think that all of that will be made available to you in the fullness of time in relation to how we handle these measures. I think just yesterday, I think Trinidad would have extended their curfew. I know Jamaica is also reviewing theirs. Other islands are having to make decisions based on these circumstances. And I think you would all appreciate, and the media and all Barbados would appreciate, that we are also guided by a number of factors, but most importantly, public health concerns. If Barbadians adhere to the issues of practical physical distancing, as we have been constantly reiterating, I believe we can contain this situation. If Barbadians look out for the elderly, ensure that that category, which we always speak to, that has one of the largest elderly populations across Barbados, if we look out for those persons and we ensure that we are protecting them and making sure that their contact with the public is limited, if Barbadians adhere to the practices of washing their hands and ensuring that there's good hygiene, and if they pay attention to the advice that they mustn't just stay at home if they suspect that they may have any of the symptoms, but that they call the COVID hotline and they seek the necessary attention, I believe that we can arrest the situation as quickly as possible. But it does rely on the people of Barbados to listen to what we've been saying, because we're only in the best interests of Barbadians across the board.
Prime Minister, a couple of days ago, I think it was last week or early the week before, Prime Minister Motley encouraged landlords in our country not to be heavy-handed with the way they treat their tenants. And subsequent to that, we've had more than one occasion where persons have been, for use of a better word, put out, evicted, basically. What is your take on that in particular, and what government can do going forward to make it more, to strengthen it more, actually?
Well, I like you, I'm sure the same concerns. I've heard of persons being evicted. I've had to do my own interventions as well to appeal to the good sense of landlords to be able to recognize that at this time, there has to be some leniency. Prime Minister Motley has spoken to it on several occasions. I appeal again to Barbadians who are landlords to really pay attention to what is happening in the society. Government has taken the steps immediately when this whole thing arose to ensure that Barbadians, who for instance didn't have access to water, were able to have the connections put back on. And we've been working to ensure that everyone has access to water as much as possible. I've had situations where landlords have sought to even keep the water supply off, and we've had to do the necessary interventions to ensure that people get access to water. So again, I would appeal to the good judgment of persons that this is not the time to be heavy-handed. This is the time to be a bit compassionate and to appreciate that we are all in this together. We can't be putting out persons with small children on the streets. It is going to obviously put a strain on the welfare department, which is grappling right now with the number of requests that is coming before it and trying to get a lot of the necessary supplies to the elderly. Now is simply not the time to be heavy-handed with your tenants. There will be a time when the situation will resume, and obviously the necessary arrangements can be put in place to recover outstanding rents, but this is not the time to be heavy-handed. Government, as I think we will continue to review the situation. I've had a few cases. We've been able to intervene, and those persons have had the opportunity to remain in the premises. If there are others, I would hope that that would be drawn to our attention, so that we can take the necessary legislative measures to be able to address it.
You mentioned water. Which I believe Rico was just mentioning as well. The residents of Sherbourne and St. John and other parts of St. John and St. Joseph have been having water issues. Is there a possibility then that we can get more water tanks, community tanks in those communities, in those areas, that a person can have greater access to water, considering that they need to wash their hands and there are only 3 tanks, for instance, in that Sherbourne area? I'm not sure if it's going to be able to cater to all of their needs when all of them are expected to be home.
I think before COVID, it was clear that we had some concerns in terms of being able to get water to all households across Barbados. COVID has compounded that issue because where in some cases you have people who may have been able to access the water at another household or even on at work or something. Obviously, you know, in this situation it has made it even more difficult. And so we acknowledge and we understand that. I know that the Barbados Water Authority is working tirelessly to get into the various communities to be able to resolve the issues that residents are having. I could only urge that patience is given to them as they try to be able to access water, because nothing has changed in terms of us being affected by drought or not having the adequate water supply in the reservoirs. Nothing has changed as far as that is concerned, but we're trying our best to get the supplies to those who basically need it at this point in time. So I crave the indulgence of Barbadians. We do recognize the inconvenience that is they're facing, and I know that the Water Authority is working tirelessly to try to get it. No one takes pride at this point in time in Barbadians not having water. We never took pride in it before. And in a situation like this, where we have essential workers on the front line whom we are asking to be able to come to work, there's no pride in not knowing that Barbadians in St. John or St. Thomas or St. Joseph do not have water. But whatever we can do to ensure that we can get the water to them, that is what the government of Barbados will continue to do at this time.
That's the situation with water, but what about, have you had assurances from the other private utilities that they would show leniency to their customers as it relates to telecommunications and electricity?
I can speak to telecommunications because when we were on the call on Sunday on brass tacks, I think we had that issue resolved in terms of telecommunication providers. There'd been a situation where I think there had been some messages that had been sent out indicating that there were some disconnections. And we were able to resolve that by raising the issue and appealing to the good sense of companies to be able to assist us in not creating the panic and the alarm, particularly now when people are at home and they actually know more than ever need to have access to having communication. Okay. But in the same token, the electrical, light and power, for instance, I've not had an official word from them specifically in terms of how they're going to deal with this situation. But I believe, like all other businesses, they're also considering their mechanisms, perhaps hoping that the situation doesn't last as long as it looks like it will. But I suspect that they will, in the fullness of time, be able to disclose to us how they will propose to deal with persons who may owe for light at this point in time, because we wouldn't want to compound the situation with the electricity now also being off, in addition to water as well.
Dr. Ford, we do have some housekeeping questions to ask him. He had mentioned that there are 53 persons in isolation, 17 at Paragon, 3 at Enmore, 29 at Gotham and Gallup. That adds up to 49. So we just want to get some housekeeping in order in terms of those numbers.
Okay, just let me allow Dr. Ford to just address the question.
Yes, Dr. Ford, based on your numbers given, you said 53 in isolation, 17 at Paragon, 3 at Enmore, that's 20, and 29 at Blackman and Gallup, that's 49.
Okay. So the child who we spoke about, the 7-year-old, is at home in isolation, given the fact that the father is also positive and being followed by the Ministry of Health. And we have two other individuals at home who are under isolation, a couple at home who are being followed by the Ministry of Health.
Okay, thank you.
I want to just take the opportunity to thank you all for your questions and certainly the concerns that have been expressed, just to reassure you that we have been taking on board the comments, not just from this media that is here this morning, but also from average Barbadians and also our stakeholders. We are not a government that is not paying attention to the concerns that have been expressed. We're trying our best to basically assure Barbadians that this difficult period is one that we have to hold each other's hands through. We are in unprecedented times, and it is important that Barbadians appreciate and understand that. I just want to reiterate, for the benefits of persons who have not been able to get essential supplies, that the announcement this morning allows for persons to be able to engage in curbside pickup, also to be able to order, to be able to have items delivered. But more importantly, for that vulnerable category that would normally be able to go into the supermarket and pick up their groceries and to be able to select their items, what we have instead sought to do is to be able to allow the retailers to be able to prepackage goods, which for the most part, they are familiar with what a number of shoppers would predominantly be able to purchase. And we've had the prepackaged goods done in quantities of $25 up to $150. Each location has determined or predetermined what will be in those baskets of goods. But we are trying to ensure that in as many situations as possible that we cater to what it is that Barbadians need and not necessarily what they want at this time. It is not about luxury. It is about trying to still be able to get essential items to the average person who needs to be able to put food on their table. And I want to just reiterate that we will continue to have the necessary structures in place in terms of police security. We ask for the compliance by Barbadians. I know Barbadians are not in discipline at all, but I know that these are very trying times. And we encourage you to basically just pay attention to the guidelines, be respectful of the police, and to just look out for the updates in terms of which supermarkets are going to be open, with the times that they will be open. We've said 9 until 4 p.m. We obviously have them operating within that time frame. The provision that is being made for walk-ins, I know at this stage, Trimart, Chanel's, Popular is also included in that, Savings Mart as well as been included. Some of the others are likely to come on board. Massey's supermarket will also be available to customers. Jordan's is also part of the walk-in. So a number of supermarkets that people often frequent to be able to buy their essential items will be offering that particular service. But as we said, we are limiting you to what you can purchase. We're hoping you just walk up, you identify which type of bag or which type of package you are interested in, you pay and you observe the physical distancing and you head back home to your families. That is what we are asking each Barbadian to do and to work with us to comply. I don't expect that we will hear, as I said earlier, that the bag don't have in this or the bag doesn't have in that. okay, this is not the time where it is necessary for us to be complaining about those things, but really do want to make sure that our elderly, even our young people who may not have access to these things right now, they may need the milk, the cheese, or the potatoes, that those things are available in the basket of items that the retailers have identified. So we will continue to provide further updates in the fullness of time, but we ask you to really work with us. So again, I want to thank you all. Just to remind you that the fish markets will be open as they continue to be. And if we have to do any revision, we will do so over the course of the next couple of days. But for the Easter period, it means that Barbadians should be able to have some fish on the table and to partake in the Easter season to be able to enjoy all the niceties of the Easter period. Again, I thank you, and I appreciate you being able to field the questions and ask Barbadians to really just pay attention to the updates that are necessary about COVID. We are in this together. Thank you.